Welcome everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis Shir number 621. We're talking about the aspect of giving, and we're going to initially now discuss the obstacles of why people hold back from giving. Why is it so difficult for couples to give to one another? And there's various reasons, and we need to think about these reasons and overcome these reasons. Number one is that sometimes there may be feelings of resentment towards one spouse because of shalom bayis issues that need to be ironed out from the current or the past. And it's important to work through these resentments, davent Hashem to help you remove it, and then work very hard to work on amidais to remove them, work it out. But in the meantime, we don't stop giving. This is one of the big basic yesoidais in Yiddishkeit overall. When you know you need to give tzedakah, sometimes it comes easy from a flowing giving heart, which is ideal. But sometimes you have that, you know, pressure feeling or negative feeling or annoying feeling when you're giving. So you don't not give because you're not in that mode. You give anyway. You push yourself and you force yourself to give because it's the right thing. And ultimately, it'll be a schus for you and it'll help you be a nice thing. That applies when giving tzedakah when you're not in a good mood. The same applies with giving to your spouse, even when you're not in a good mood, and even if you have to still sort out some inner resentment. But the work through it, so that's very important. Another thing that may, why it's difficult is because it's difficult for a person to move from the noitel, the taker aspect, to become a noisein. A giver aspect, which we discussed in the past, to become more selfless instead of selfish. And it's not such an easy thing. A lot of us perceive ourselves to be very giving people. But in reality, we still have a lot to work on. And very often there is a resistance to giving. And again, like especially we mentioned in the end of last year about the vulnerability of a rejection or a colder response. And sometimes we're hesitant to give because we may not get that warm response back that we're expecting. But the more we get into that nice and giver mode, the more we'll realize we're giving. Of course, it's beautiful if they respond back in a warm way. But even if they don't, I'm giving anyway. Another thing is because our whole society is built on the track of taking and what's in it for me and so on and so forth. Some people, you know, don't even to their children, they're hesitant giving or, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's very important to remove that aspect of taking that is a very strong root that takes place in our society. Sometimes a person will hesitate giving because they feel they're contributing more than their spouse in the relationship. And you ask yourself, does my spouse care about me as much as I care about them? Or am I receiving as much out of the marriage as I'm investing in it? I'm putting in so much kaychus and how much am I getting back for it? Or is the responsibility of marriage just on me? Is the responsibility of shalom bayis just on me? Now again, these feelings have to be sorted out. Of course, ideally it needs to be a two-way street. But the idea is that the common denominator of everything we described till now, right now, is that internally you're only willing to become a giver on the condition that your spouse reciprocates. And, you know, and your giving is really conditional or preceded by these unspoken demands in your mind and in your heart. And if both husband and wife have this mode, then no one will give in a real way. Because that's the society's attitude that seeps into our brains, like what's in it for me. Now, it's very important to know, again, is if a marriage has this dynamic where it is one-sided in a real objective way. So again, you ask for guidance and you ask for hadracha, you find the right people, marriage counselors and a rabbanim that understand these things to talk to about. Saying you don't, you know, bury a problem when there's a problem. But in a general marriage mahalach, the idea is to be a giver is, it would be beautiful if my wife or husband does reciprocate, but I'm going to do this chesed whether they do reciprocate or not. Usually 95% of the time plus, they will reciprocate. And even if they don't, you plant the seed and you keep on doing it day in and day out, day in and day out. That feeling will be warm and ultimately it'll pierce through and there will be a reciprocation. And don't hold back giving even if you don't see that result right away. But this is the business world we live in. the opposite of true giving, how to win customers, how to widen the profit margin. And very often in business, people are polite, in hotels even, they're warm, they're polite. It's a facade. It's just a technique. A salesperson, the same way, the warmth that a salesperson shows is because they want to earn a living. Now, there's nothing wrong with being nice anyway for nice sake, but if their mind is only what's in it for me, it's problematic. And it seeps into our private lives also. What will I gain from investing time in this relationship with my husband or wife? What when I invest my energy in there? What am I getting back? And the truth is even in business, when you're in sales or when you want to be customer oriented, when you're working in a hotel, you have to be nice anyway to hold your job or to maintain your business. But there needs to also throw in there a genuine warmth and caring that you really do care. Yes, I'm getting paid for it. And I want the customer to like me and to be comfortable for my own business. But I really genuinely am interested in this customer and his life as well, or her life as well. And the same thing with marriage, certainly. So that's the idea. The giving being non-conditional. That doesn't mean that you don't have a right to express needs. We talked about that in many, many shiurim. And we talked about in Binyan Abayis. He talks about that if a marriage is just based on the insight of giving, that's not healthy either. Right? So everything we talk about, you need that healthy balance. But the idea of ideally trying to be a noisein, that's really a very healthy, good thing. So the question is, again, why should I be the only one to give? And will your spouse take advantage of your good and giving nature? So the answer basically is like this. The giver will ultimately benefit. Now, Rabbi Dessler concludes that the best relationship between a husband and wife will occur when both practice and achieve the virtue of giving. Then their love will never cease, their lives will be full of happiness and contentment as long as they live on this earth. So we just finished right now the four building blocks of marriage and of strengthening that love. Number one was to recognize your spouse's virtues. Number two is the concept of hakaras Hatoiv. Number three was sharing and complimenting. And number four is the act of giving. They seem to be very related to one another, but each one is separate, as you'll recognize from reading and listening to the shiurim. Chapter four, which is the next chapter in this book, is entitled Recognizing and Appreciating Your Spouse's Different Natures. Again, at this point in time when I'm giving this shiur, we had shiurim on personality types of the MBTI. Hopefully, Bezos Hashem, at some point, will give shiurim on the Enneagram as well. And that's a very good tool to use, if you use it the right way, to appreciate the differences in natures. Besides their personality differences, of course, we talked about this a lot, and it really needs to be emphasized, the concept of the differences between men and women overall. They're separate and different biologically, and socially, and emotionally, and intellectually, and in their brain function, and so on and so forth. And a husband and wife, even if they have brothers and sisters growing up, but nevertheless, when they marry, a husband and wife will engage in many different separate activities on their own. And then they wonder, are they made for each other? And they worry about it because they're so different, which usually crops up more after they're married while they're dating. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And actually, there's everything right with that. Scientific studies prove, despite our culture trying to say men and women are equal and that in their personalities and they have the same things and it's just social and it's just a culture and really there's no difference between the two inherently, that's a falsehood. There's undeniable, scientifically proven, and through the Torah-based discussions of this, tremendous differences between men and women in abilities, in strengths, in interests, and so on and so forth. Therefore, it is very important for husbands and wives to understand each other's natures, their specific individual nature, and also the idea of general male-female differences. They have different roles in life. They embody different aspects of the roles. They have different emotional and intellectual needs. And their different natures explain how the different approaches in many areas of their relationship is. And when one ignores or denies this principle of recognizing differences, that could be a source of friction and machlekes and obstacles of true love. But if they better understand each other, respond accordingly, much of this friction will be eliminated. That's why I encourage learning about personality types the right way, because by doing so, you definitely, definitely will be more accepting and understanding of your spouse's different nature, and shalom bias will be enhanced. Again, you can learn everything in the in a great way and in a not great way. So we always were warned when we talked about personality types is it's not to put a person in a box or to try to psychoanalyze them, right? And to become a psychologist and just to pick at things no, that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is just to recognize overall there's major differences in the makeup of men and women, and it manifests itself in different character traits Hashem implanted in them. It's positive, it's beneficial, and so on and so forth. They, men and women, think differently, act differently, speak differently, function differently. Their different traits result in having individuality of a different manifestation in hobbies, in leisure time interests, in problem solving, and in communication. Rav Moshe Aaron Stern talked about the Chazal when it says in Chazal, this is Shabbos, Tachsamah Beis Amid Aleph, Noshim am b'fnei atzman heim, that women are a distinct nation. Just like you're a nation when you're a resident in a foreign country. You learn the laws of the country, the customs of the country, the language of the country to integrate into their society. Same thing when you have a marriage and you marry to a woman and a woman to a man. You go into their world like you're visiting a foreign country and now you want to share common ground, so you'll learn about it. You'll learn about their customs. You'll learn about their lifestyles. You'll learn about their emotional makeup. And married life would be a lot easier for all of us and would have a lot less friction, a lot less resentment if couples expected these differences. Not that, oh, we're one and one and then there's conflicts and then, oh my God, did I marry the wrong person? No. The idea is that you develop that will and determination to study your husband or wife, learn their natures, feelings, and patterns, and be patient with it. And not be sarcastic about it. You know, people have this men-women jokes all the time. It can be done in good humor. But the sarcasm and disregard for each other's natures and with contempt, the people who bash, men who bash women and women who bash men, it's a very, very unhealthy thing. And Rav Shlomo Wolbo said that couples should realize that they'll never fully understand the mentality of the other gender. You'll never fully understand a spouse's inherent nature. And again, you should learn about personality types that will help, but ultimately you'll realize there's some things that you'll never fully understand and need to accept. To recognize those differences in their manifestations and how to live in harmony with each other. And when these differences begin to surface, what's very important for a couple to realize is that it's not with your spouse that you're having trouble with. It's the very nature of the opposite gender. It's the very nature of the personality difference. And that mindset will help less aggravate you. It will take away a lot of agmas nefesh. It is not your wife personally. It is not your husband personally. It is the way Hashem implanted your different natures. And Hashem has nachas ruach from this. This applies, by the way, in a macro level with how all Yidden should get along with each other. The Hasidim, the Litvisha, the Sfardim, the more modern Orthodox, the Zionists, the anti-Zionists, it makes no difference in the path of Avodas Hashem, of what Hashem wants these differences to come about, Elu ve'elu, and to manifest and bring it out and see how all these different manifestations are all coming from the one Hashem. Like we say, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And especially in a marriage, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Both the husband and wife are the word of the living God. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is manifesting himself through their personalities, through their neshamas. And the neshamas are one, but they manifestate itself in different ways. Morabu Masech Hashem, red, blue, yellow, green, are all from the one God. But it's not just white, one color. It's all these colors, but it all comes from the one. And that's the idea, the side of harmony in marriage. Bracha v'atzlacha.